These are all of our stories. These are who we are as Americans.
Freedom leads to prosperity. Freedom is the victor.
This is the podcast of Grassroots Radio Colorado with your host, Chris Cook.
And I am Chris Cook. Welcome to the podcast of Grassroots Radio Colorado. So glad you can join me tonight. It's August 26th. And I want to unpack something that I have seen all over social media. I've been receiving multiple texts about people reaching out going, what in the heck is going on? I want to talk about the caucus. And I want to talk about specifically the straw poll at the caucus, which the executive committee of the Colorado GOP decided not to hold this year. And that is that has become a subject of some consternation and some confusion. So I want to unpack all the issues around this, and let's talk about this issue and why it's important, why they made the decision that they did, and why it was the right thing for liberty, okay? This all started, I started getting texts late in the afternoon on Monday because the Denver Post had run an article. The headline on the article was, at that time, Colorado Republicans cancel presidential caucus vote. Okay, but people didn't see the vote part. They only saw the presidential caucus. And they thought, oh my God, the Colorado GOP has canceled the caucus. What in the heck? Why would they do that? Those were the texts that I was getting on Monday. As Senator Chris Hulbert explained over the course of the last couple days, the Colorado GOP does not have that power. The caucus is in statute. We hold caucuses because it's in the Colorado statutes. The Democrats hold them too. We hold those because they are in statute. And so for the caucus to be canceled, that would be something that would have to be done legislatively. We'll talk about that in a few minutes because there was an attempt to do that. I'm going to tell you why it's a bad idea. But what this article is about is a decision that was made at the Colorado GOP Executive Committee meeting last Friday to not hold a straw poll at the caucus, not hold a presidential preference poll at the caucus. Now, why would they do that? Why would they do that? Isn't that the place where people's voices can be heard? Isn't that the place where all this stuff, you know, I mean, all these grassroots, isn't that the voice of the grassroots is at the caucus and they should be able to have this poll and make it heard? There's a reason why this was a bad idea this year. Now, we've held 3 presidential straw polls. I mean, this isn't something that's been going on since time immemorial, but we have held 3 presidential straw polls. This year, it was a bad idea. Let me tell you why. In 2012, the RNC at the 2012 Tampa convention changed the rules. They passed a rule change that said if you have a caucus and you do a straw poll, as we've done in the past here in Colorado, our delegates to the national convention would then be bound, meaning that they have to vote according to that straw poll. We want them unbound, especially in a field with 17 candidates. We want them unbound because those 17 candidates are not going to survive to the convention. I'd bet you a $100 bottle of scotch right now. Those candidates are not going to survive, not all of them, to the 2016 convention. So what happened was the XCOM chose last Friday not to do the straw poll. This is a win for the liberty movement, but it's confusing. And so a lot of people in the liberty movement are really upset because they think that the voice of the grassroots has now been muted by House and by the executive committee. That's not the case. The media is going to screw this one up really, really badly. And Ryan Call in particular, our esteemed former chairman, and yes, I'm using air quotes on that, is his baby was always to move us to a primary. He always wanted to do that. Why would he want to do that? Why would our establishment, firmly entrenched establishment former chairman, want us to move to a primary? Do you think maybe it's because a primary actually favors the establishment candidate? That's exactly why. So the quote that the Denver Post ran from Ryan Call was that suspending the straw poll, quote, takes Colorado completely off the map. That is just absolutely not true. That is absolutely not true. Now our delegates are up for grabs. They're going to be here in Colorado, courting Colorado so that the delegates can then support them. And we are not bound to a candidate who may or may not be in the race. So, of course, they're going to come around and support us. We're a swing state. We've got 9 electoral votes. We are a swing state. We have an opportunity to change the outcome of the presidential election. They're going to be courting us, no doubt. Absolutely no doubt. But Ryan Call doesn't see it that way. And oh my gosh, we have to listen to Ryan Call, right? No, we don't. Not in the least. Steve House, much as I'm not a fan, actually had this right. And the thing that he said, let me find his quote here. He said, if we do a binding presidential preference poll, then we would pledge our delegates and the candidates we bind them to may or may not be in the race by the time we get to the convention. He's absolutely right. That is exactly what would happen. And so this was a good thing. The other effect of this is that we can actually have a caucus in February or in March. Either one is going to be allowed without violating RNC rules. And so we still get all 37 of our delegates. Otherwise, if we had had a binding straw poll and we had held the caucus in March, we would have lost 75% of our delegates. We would have only had 9 at the convention. That's bad. That's very bad. So now we have 37 because we're not going to do this. So just the reasons to not have the straw poll keep mounting up. So let's talk about why the RNC wanted to do this. And it's not just the primary, although it all ties back to that. The 2012 Tampa convention was very much affected by the campaign of Ron Paul. And whether or not you like Ron Paul, whether or not he's your candidate, I am often not a fan. I don't like his foreign policy. I like his economic policy, but not his foreign policy. But he has done something to the face of American politics that I don't think any other candidate has ever done. Reagan came close to this, but the effect of Ron Paul in particular on the millennial generation, on young people, on getting them energized, getting them involved, getting them interested in politics has completely changed the face of the Republican Party. And the establishment hates that. The establishment absolutely hates that. And so at the 2012 convention, Ron Paul delegates showed up in force. There were a lot of people there who supported him. And so the establishment decided they were going to try this very, very sneaky, sneaky way to make that not happen. They wanted to take the power away from the grassroots. And so that's exactly what they did with this rule change, that if you had this caucus and you had a straw poll, your candidate, your delegates were bound. That is their way of making us as much of a primary state as they possibly can non-legislatively. That was their purpose. That was their entire purpose in doing that. And so, and trying to remove the voice of the grassroots. So those are the facts on the ground, and that's the background for why all this has happened. So there's been 3 misconceptions, basically, that I've seen over the course of the past few days, the past couple days. One resulting from the Post's misleading headline that the caucus was canceled by the Colorado GOP. 2, removing the straw poll removes the voice of the people in the process. And I don't think that's true. I really don't think that's true, and I'll explain why. And then the third misconception I've seen is that binding the delegates is the move that we have to make in order to prevent faithless delegates. In other words, in order to prevent people who tell you that they're going to support one person and then they go to the convention and they're not going to support that person. So I want to address all three of those. Obviously, the caucus was not canceled, okay? And Senator Chris Hulbert pointed out that that has to be done legislatively. I think I said a little bit earlier that the Democrats have them too. I mean, this is part of our statutes here in the state of Colorado, that we hold a caucus and not a primary. And so there was a move to change us. There was a bill that was I can't remember if it was introduced. I'm pretty sure it was in the last legislative session to take us to end the caucus and move us to a primary. And again, the reason that we don't want to do that is because a primary favors the establishment candidates. Now, why does it favor the establishment candidates? Let's think about this for a second. Who votes in a primary? And who votes in a caucus? Let's contrast these two populations. The idea that the people need to have a voice in government is absolutely the right idea. It is we the people. And so the idea that people need to have a voice in their government is absolutely the right idea. My choice, if I get to choose, is that the people who are speaking in that process are actually the people who have educated themselves about the candidates and about the issues about which they're speaking. If they're going to have a voice, if they're going to have a choice in that process that's going to speak for all of us, then what needs to happen is that they need to be educated. They need to understand what it is that they're talking about. That's what I think the caucus process ensures. The folks who care enough about all of this to study it, to learn it, to think about it deeply, to listen to podcasts, to listen to talk radio, to be part of this process and this conversation that goes on, and then to actually show up on a snowy Tuesday night at a caucus, those are the people who have taken the steps to qualify themselves to actually be part of the process. They have taken their civic duty seriously, and they have qualified themselves by taking those steps. That is why I believe the caucus process works, and it works in favor of the people who think. And I tend to believe, knowing the number of grassroots activists that I do, that the people who are in the grassroots are the ones who do this. They are the ones who think deeply about this stuff. They are the ones who understand the philosophy behind our country, the idea that the founders had, and they are the ones who are willing to exercise their vote, exercise their voice, in order to see that original vision restored. That's the people who are in the grassroots. Those are also the people who are going to oppose a lot of what the Republican establishment has to offer. Because that is not the founders' vision. That is not what's best for our country. That is what's best for the cronyists. That's what's best for the people in the big money machine. Now, a primary favors that big money machine, not just because there's a lot of money, not just because there's a lot of money, but because it doesn't have that filter. And especially now that we have the election laws that we do in this state, where all elections are all mail ballot elections, everyone gets a ballot, everybody gets to vote, and everybody, you know, it just doesn't take that much effort. It doesn't take that much thought. And so therefore, people just do it offhandedly because they see it sitting there on their kitchen counter and say, oh, well, yeah, I should do my civic duty and vote. But they don't do their civic duty to actually educate themselves about what it is that they're voting on, because they don't see that as part of the duty. They just see turning in the ballot as being the duty. And that is what the establishment is counting on. That is what they're counting on: sheep. They're counting on people who can be bought. They're counting on people who can be influenced by Mugu ads. I mean, seriously, come on. I do dread going into election season. I do dread going into election season because I just cannot watch TV at all. At all. Not that I watch a ton now. I really don't. I'm on Hulu and Netflix and forget it. But if you turn on the television at any time during election season, you know, you've been there with me. Please, not another ad, because what they're trying to do is they're trying to influence the sheep. They're trying to make sure that name recognition is what they're going off of. not actual issues, not having actually researched what the things are. They put on these political ads. They scare the crap out of people. They tell them, if you vote for the other guys, this is exactly what's going to happen. And your life will be over as we know it. And cats and dogs living together, mass chaos. I mean, that's a political ad. That is a political ad. People believe it. If they don't think about this stuff, if they don't study it, people believe it. And that's how we get the country that we have today. Because people aren't thinking, they're not taking their civic duty seriously to be informed voters. Now, and I'm saying this in generalities. Obviously, there are people out there who do. You, me. We do take that seriously. But there's a whole lot more who just are not invested in the process. They're apathetic. They're not part of it. They think that whatever they do doesn't make a difference, so they'll just vote for that guy. You know, that's the kind of thing that we're looking at. And so what the caucus gives us is at least that part of the process is populated by informed, educated, non-apathetic voters. That's why we go for a caucus. And that's why we go for not binding our delegates. We'll talk about that when we come back. That is the U.S. Army Blues Band doing Stardust. I am Chris Cook. You're listening to the Grassroots Radio Colorado podcast. And I used to be a jazz singer. I used to sing with an 18-piece big band out of Fort Collins, and it was a lot of fun. I still sing in the shower. And it's been a while. I need to get out and do that some more. But I love that kind of music. Just love it. So we're talking about the straw poll, and we're talking about specifically the caucus and the caucus versus the primary, and all of these issues are tied up together. Now, the Colorado GOP Executive Committee decided not to have a straw poll this year. That was in reaction to a rule change at the 2012 convention, RNC convention, that said that if you had a straw poll and you have a caucus, then your delegates are bound to that straw poll. And they have to vote that way. So what do you do when you have 17 presidential candidates in the race? That's a recipe for disaster. And so now what we've got, now that they've decided not to have the straw poll, what we've got is we're going to have 37 unbound delegates that have to be courted by the presidential candidates in a swing state. I think that we're guaranteed that they're going to be courting us. Ryan Call seems to think that it's taken Colorado off the map and that we won't be anywhere to be found. Any presidential candidate who would ignore a swing state with delegates who could vote for him or could vote for his opponent would be an idiot to not spend time here. Absolutely moronic. And so for Call to make that statement is so imbecilic and so arrogant, because he thinks that he can sell that crap to the rest of us. God, am I glad that we got him out of there. Not too pleased with the guy who's in there now, but I am glad that Ryan Call is no longer heading this party. I can tell you that. I am absolutely delighted about that fact. So the third misconception that I want to talk about is whether binding our delegates is the move that we have to make in order to prevent faithless delegates. In other words, in order to prevent folks who are going to the convention after having told you, in order to get your vote, that they were going to vote for this candidate or that candidate, and then they go and they vote for somebody completely different. And that's a little bit harder one to unpack, because I can see the logic behind that. I do understand the logic behind that. In my opinion, and this is just my opinion, the way to prevent faithless delegates is to choose your delegates wisely. It's to vote for the people who you know have integrity, or to run yourself. You know you have integrity. Run for being a delegate yourself and be part of that process yourself. That is how you prevent that. Now, we've had so many countless examples of elected officials that we cannot rely on. I get that. I know that. And I this is what, when I was on the radio, we fought against that all the time. We fight against it here. That's a lot of the fight that we have, is to try to get people who have integrity into the process. Delegates, I think, these are the people that are your neighbors. These are the people who are close to home. You have a much better opportunity to assess their integrity, to assess their ability to carry out your wishes, to represent you at the convention, because you know these folks. So get involved. That's the only way that you really do get to know them. You know, I love the caucus process because I'm basically a hermit. And I don't know any of my neighbors. It's horrible. I've lived in this neighborhood for 5 years, and I know one neighbor. And it's the lady across the street who keeps calling the county of Denver and the city and county of Denver to tell them my weeds are too high. So I'm not exactly on great terms with her. But she's also not a Republican, or if she is, she never shows up to caucus. I get to go to caucus, and I get to meet the people who are in my precinct. They live, in three blocks on either side of me, who are actually Republicans in the city and county of Denver. What a concept. They actually exist besides me. That's so cool. And I love the caucus process for that. I love being part of that process. I love being part of it. It feels so town hall. It feels so New England, I guess, and so start of this country, so colonial America, to be part of a caucus and to go and having your ducks in a row and knowing what the issues are, knowing who the candidates are and what their positions are and who you support and why, and then being able to participate in a face-to-face discussion with these folks about and try to persuade them to support your candidate. And here's why. I mean, you believe in X, Y, and Z, right? Well, so does he. And here's the history that he's got to prove it. To prove that he will be faithful to that vision. And so, you should support him. And if you support him, support me as a delegate. And having that face-to-face type of interaction. A primary is so impersonal. It's so driven by media. It's so driven by the big the consulting machine and the political class and the whole media thing that It is completely impersonal, and it's completely dependent on all of us being sheep. That's exactly what they're counting on. I had an interaction with a gentleman today on Facebook, and here's one of the things that he said, and I thought it was really interesting. He said, one of the things about our society is the fact that even stupid people have a voice. And certainly, we may consider their choices ill-advised. What can we do about that? Why? We can take away their choices, of course. We certainly don't want the unwashed masses to pick someone that may not be worthy. And then he put a winky face. Now, and he's right. Nobody intends to sound like that. But he said, his position was, when he reads those arguments about people being too stupid not to see through the ads and hype, that's what he sees, is that the unwashed, we can't let the unwashed masses choose the candidates. That's not how I view it. And that's really not the argument that I'm making. What I am saying is that we have to use the levers that are available to us. And we have to use the folks, we have to encourage the participation of the folks who are educated about the process. Education for us, the grassroots, education is our biggest lever. It's not money. It's education. Now, sometimes education takes money. I'll grant you that. But education, one-on-one, talking to people, talking to your neighbor, being involved in that process on that level, that is our biggest lever. That is how the grassroots succeeds. That's how grassroots movements succeed, is education and talking and persuasion, one-on-one, intelligent conversation, getting people to think. Getting people to understand. The assumption that underlies the arguments for the primaries is that it's the exact same assumption that the tyrants choose to leverage. Basically, they want the widest number of people with zero knowledge of what they're doing to blindly follow along like sheep. That's how the statists stay in power. They tweak the system to do exactly that, encourage the widest participation by the lowest common denominator. And instead, what we ought to be encouraging is for people to take their civic duty seriously. Yes, you should vote. Yes, you should. And the widest number of people ought to do that. But voting should require, and I don't know how we do this, but voting should require that you also study the issues. You also study the candidates. You also find out what in the heck is going on in the world and understand what the threats are and how we counter those, what the vision is and how we get there. That, those people, the people who take the time to do that, those are the people that we want involved in the process. And there's nothing that we can do about the general election, nothing that we can do in terms of that. But when it comes to choosing our Republican candidate, when it comes to choosing our party's candidate, we can leverage the caucus system in order to make that happen. It's not an elitist movement. You'll see that argument a lot too. The caucus system, any registered Republican can go to the caucus. Any registered Republican is more than welcome to go to the caucus. All of them should show up. All of them should show up as educated voters who know the issues and know the candidates. But all of them should show up. It's not elitist. It's simply asking for effort. That's what the caucus system does. There's no exclusion going on. None. But I refuse to believe that the franchise must, for the sake of democracy, for the sake of the republic, actually, because that's the argument I see, for the sake of the republic, the franchise, people, in other words, people who are voting, needs to be expanded to the widest number of people possible. That means the widest number of people possible who know absolutely nothing about what they're voting about are making a choice. And they know absolutely nothing except what they've seen maybe on TV, or they recognize Donald Trump's name, or whatever. Whatever. That is the danger. That is the danger. And that is what we need to guard against. And that is why I support a caucus with every ounce of my being. Because the folks that we want making these decisions, who is going to be our nominee, we want those folks to understand why that nominee is the best. That's what we're going for. So basically what it comes down to for me is that we have a three-step program to get a better country, okay? I mean, Grassroots Radio Colorado, we're all about solutions. We're all about saving the republic. That is my agenda, is saving the republic. That's what this is about. So I've got a three-step process. Get informed, get involved, and inform others. It's pretty easy. It really, really is. And if everybody who's listening to my voice did that with five other people, and they each did that with five other people, and they each did that with five other people, and granted, this will be a lot more effective when I have a bigger platform, but still, even just us doing that can change the face of Colorado politics. We can change the face of national politics. As I said earlier, we are a swing state. Colorado has a lot of say in what happens in the presidential race. We have a lot of say in who sits in the White House because of our 9 electoral votes that nobody can count on. We have a lot of say. And so we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity in front of us between now and the 2016 general election to really change what this country looks like. But we have to take those three steps. We can't sit back and bitch. We can't just sit back and whine. We can't just say we're the victims here because the Democrats have a much bigger, they have a much bigger platform, and they have all this money, and they've got all these people, and they're so stupid, and blah, 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 blah. That doesn't work. We can bitch, moan, whine, and complain, but it's not going to get us anywhere. If you actually want to save the country, inform yourself, get involved, go to your county party, go to your precinct, your house district, be involved at that level. Be part of the solution. Be part of the solution. And then take the things that you learn by informing yourself and by being involved, and go out and inform other people. and help them understand. Help them to get involved. That's what this is all about. That's really what a republic is. We, the people. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. I'm so glad that I had a chance to do this podcast. I've been looking forward to it. If you want to reach out to me with criticisms or complaints or praise or whatever, I'd just love to hear from you. You can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/grassrootsradiocolorado, or you can email me, Chris, K-R-I-S, at grassrootsradiocolorado.com. Love to hear from you. Thank you so much for joining me. And remember, America is great because Americans are great. So go out there and be exceptional.